I got a great dirty trick you can play on a 3-year-old kid. See, kids learn how to talk from listening to their parents. See? Right. See, this is a good one you can pull on. See, what you do, if you have a 3-year-old kid and you want to play a dirty trick on him, whenever you're around him, you talk wrong. So now it's like his first day in school and he raises his hand, "May I mumble dog face to the banana patch?"
All right, so Steve Martin's idea may go a little too far, but if you have a hankering to play with the English language, you might want to dip into Aaron McKean's new book. It's called Weird and Wonderful Words. McKean's an editor at the Oxford English Dictionary, and she loves strange words, like squintifigo, which refers to someone who squints too much, and limiculus, that means living in mud. Honeyfuggle, that's to swindle or cheat. And Strange Champ sat down with Aaron McKean to talk about the pleasure of words.
Well, the book's called Weird and Wonderful Words. Did you have any thoughts about what makes a word weird?
Well, Q's, K's, W's, X's, and Z's tend to be tip-offs. And for some reason, longer words are weirder than shorter words. I don't know why.
Did you come to think of words as not just tools for saying things, but as a kind of art form?
Oh, definitely. There are some of these words that I would like to get put in, I don't know, 105-point type and just hang them on the wall like a picture.
Which ones?
Oh, let's see. Whenever I'm asked what my favorite word in the book is, I get completely narcissistic and say arenaceous, because, you know, my name is Aaron. Mm-hmm. And arenaceous is such a neat word for me because it means of, like, or pertaining to hedgehogs.
I can't see that it's a word you'd have much use for.
Well, no, not really, but I just had never connected myself in any way with hedgehogs until I found that word. But now I feel this kind of unspoken kinship, and I think if I ever met one, we would connect instantly.
I had a few favorite words I wanted to ask you about and where they came from. Like, some of them are words that you could use to describe people. I suppose I like those because they seemed especially useful. Like,
oh, they're very useful.
Words you might actually use, like Beatty Bummel?
Yes. The bungler. I think that's Scots. I'm not sure where quite all of these came from. I tend to be an opportunist. I don't pay too much attention to the etymology if it looks like one I could grab.
Have you found a way yet to call somebody a Beatty Bummel?
Luckily, no. Not a lot of bunglers I've been running into lately. I have found one word that I liked that I've been trying to use with my toddler son, which is freck. You know, move along, freck. And I tried to counteract my husband's use of mock schnell, which
That's
I think
good.
Sounds a little too authoritarian.
Some of these words just look so strange. You know how mostly when we look at words, we have some vague sense that they make sense. They fit into our language. They either look as though they're, you know, maybe German or Anglo-Saxon in origin, or they look vaguely romantic. And, you know, if you had a little touch of Latin or French or something in high school, they maybe look like they'd make sense. There are these words that are just odd. Rassasy?
Yes.
R-A-S-S-A-S-Y. First, what does it mean? And then where would it come from?
That one means to satisfy. And I'm not sure where that one came from. The idea that you can look at a word and know whether it's a word of English or not just by the arrangement of the letters and sounds is often called phonotactics. Hmm. And so there aren't any words in English that I know of that start D-R-I-T.
Right, drit.
But we know that that could happen. That's a perfectly logical combination of letters. But D-Q-R-S is a combination of letters that couldn't happen in English. We couldn't say it. And in fact, Simon Winchester, who wrote the introduction to this book, invented a word, drimmens. He said, there's nothing in the dictionary where drimmens falls. He'd filled a slot.
There's a whole little hole missing there.
Yeah.
What does drimmens mean?
This is especially appropriate for Madison, I think. It's the trail of snow melt, gray, nasty snow melt that comes off your boots when you go from the snow into a warm room.
See, that's the thing. A lot of these words are words that we sort of need. They fill not just a sound gap in the dictionary. They fill a real kind of hole.
I do think that some of these words fill uses. They could be used for ideas that we need. But just like you always know someone who has the basement full of tools and has a hammer for every kind of nail. Sometimes you just need one hammer, and you can hit every kind of nail, maybe without as much finesse, and maybe not exactly right on the head. But most people have enough hammers in their language that they don't need all of these words. It's nice to have them. They're like a language luxury.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes words can become, almost personal words. And, you know, when you have a friend who has a word they use a lot, it can become just such a hallmark of that person. I have a friend, for instance, who uses the word snarky quite a lot when she's talking about somebody who's, I don't know, grumpy and kind of pissy about something. She says, "You got all snarky about it."
Oh.
And I don't know if that's a real word or a made-up word.
I hear snarky all the time, but I hear it to mean wittily sarcastic. Mm. There's a website called Television Without Pity, and I think that their catchphrase is "spare the snark and spoil the tube."
So this is a real word, and now
it's
I've discovered where it comes from.
And of course,
from.
You know, there's Lewis Carroll's poem about the snark.
The hunting of the snark.
He was grouchy.
Yeah.
Not witty at all.
There are some words in here that writers have deliberately made up and then tried to get into the language. At what point do you decide, okay, we'll allow that in as a new word?
Oh, well, they're always words from the moment of birth. It's like if you're born in the United States, you're automatically a citizen. If an English speaker makes you up, you're automatically a word. Now, whether the word ever gets beyond that one person's mouth or pen, that's a whole different story. For that, we need a lot of evidence. For example, in the new shorter Oxford English Dictionary that's just come out, the rule to be included in that book was that it had to be coined or discovered after 1700, and we had to have 5 examples of it over a period of 5 years in 5 different places. Hmm. So that we knew that it had continuance in time, it wasn't just used by one small group of people, and there were enough examples that we thought, well, this is something that more than one person has used. And when people say, well, where do you need to see it? I like to say that we like to see examples from the Wall Street Journal, Mother Jones, you know, Cat Fancy Monthly, just a wide range of
to show that it's in popular use.
Right.
As a lexicographer, have you ever been tempted to go beyond simply collecting words to making up words and trying to get words of your own into the language?
I'm so busy watching other people make things up that I don't really spend any time creating my own. Although occasionally there are words that I see other people using that I push a little bit. I try and get them used by other people outside the original group. And
for instance?
One of the ones that I really like lately is a new slang term for beautiful, good-looking, hot, and it's foamy.
Foamy?
Right. Like oh, he's
F-O-A-M-Y,
so foamy.
Like the foam?
Exactly.
I like that, too.
I like that. I thought, you know, foamy is never bad.
Well, it sort of implies bubbling up over the top.
Right. He's over-the-top good-looking, so foamy.
Foamy.
And I really like the word that was used on The Simpsons, and actually I put that one in Weird and Wonderful Words, too, cromulent.
Which means
perfectly okay. You know, it's acceptable. And it comes about in one of the teachers on the show is saying, I never heard the word in Biggins before I came to Springfield. And the other teacher says, I don't know why, it's a perfectly cromulent word. And, you know, just to put that in, it's just a good joke on so many levels. And in fact, another lexicographer I know has the domain name cromulent. Hmm. All the rest of us are jealous of him for grabbing that before we thought of it.
Erin McKean's book is called Weird and Wonderful Words. She talked with Anne Strange Champs.